And today's shiur is Perek Arba Asar Mehilchos Machalos Asuros, Chapter 14 of the Laws Concerning Forbidden Foods. Halacha Aleph, Paragraph 1. Kol Isurei Machalo Shebetorah Shiurim Bekizayiz Beinani, Bein Lamalkus, Bein Lakaris, Bein Lamisa Bede Shemayim. The minimum quantity which must be eaten of any of the foods forbidden by the Torah in order to incur the penalty of lashes, of flogging, or the penalty of kares, excision, or death at the hands of Hashem, of the hands of heaven, the required amount, the minimum amount for any of these penalties, is the volume of a medium-sized olive. Ukvar bi'arnu shekol ha-machuyiv karis o misa b'dei shemayim al machol lokim. We also have already explained that a person who is subject to the penalty of excision or death at the hands of heaven for eating forbidden foods is also liable to a flogging. Halacha base, paragraph 2. Vishir zeh im kol ha-shiyurin halacha l'moshe m'sinaheim v'osem min ha-torah lechal kol shuhu medavar ha-asur ava eino loka ela al-kezayis v'yemachal kol shuhu pachas mikashir makinos al-makas mardus. This standard, like all other standards, all other measurements and weights and so on, is a law that was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Although it is forbidden by the Torah to eat even the smallest amount of a prohibited food, flogging is incurred only if for eating an olive's volume. If one eats a quantity less than the volume of an olive, the person would be liable only to the rabbinically prescribed flogging for disobedience. Halacha Gimel, paragraph 3. Kizayi shomarnu chutz mishel bein hashinayim. Aba mashal bein hachanichayim mitztarif l'mashe bola, shehari nena grono mikizayis. When we speak about eating an olive's worth, it excludes the amount remaining in between the teeth. But that which remains between the palate and the tongue does combine with what has been swallowed, since his palate has already benefited from an olive's worth. And we go by what the palate has derived benefit from for this liability. Afilu achal kechatzi zayis vehekiyo. V'chazo v'achal oso chatzi zayis atzmo sheheki chayov. She'ein hachiyov ela al hanoas hagarom v'kezayis midavar ha'osur. The Rambam adds an even greater point. Even if he eats half an olive's worth and vomits it, and then eats that same half of an olive's worth which he had just vomited, the person is still liable, since liability comes from the enjoyment of the palate of an olive's worth of forbidden food, and here he had an olive's worth of forbidden food enjoyed by his palate. Halacha Dal, paragraph 4. Kizayis chelev o nevela o pigul o nosar b'kiyotze behem shenicha b'chama b'nismayit ha'ochel potter. Chazav ha'nicha b'gshame b'nispa ha'chayav an olive karis o malkus. If one leaves an olive's worth of forbidden fat, nevela, that's the animal that dies without shechita, pigul, that is when a person who offers a sacrifice has a improper intention which renders the sacrifice unkosher, or a remnant of a sacrifice, and the like, and one leaves that in the sun so that it shrinks, and then he eats it, he would be exempt from the liability. If afterwards he leaves it in the rain and it swells up again to its original volume, he would be liable to excision or to a flogging, depending on the case. Hoya pachas mikazayis mibatchilach v'nispach v'omer al kazayis osur v'ein lokin olav. If at the outset this particular forbidden food is less than an olive's worth, but it swells up to an olive's worth, it would be forbidden, because even if it's less than an olive's worth, it's also forbidden. But the Rambam says he would not be liable or subject to a flogging because of this, because it wasn't originally a kezayis, the size, the volume of an olive. Halacha Hey, paragraph 5. Kvar bayarnu shekol isurin shebetor ein mitstar from ze im ze le kezayis. Chutz mipsar nevela imsar treifa, v'isurei nazir sheyizbaru bimkomam. We have already explained that the prohibitions enumerated in the Torah do not combine with one another to make up an olive's worth. The exceptions are nevela combines with treifa, that is, an animal that dies without shechita, and an animal which has a fatal wound which would render it treifa, it is not kosher, even if it is slaughtered properly. In both cases, they are considered to be very similar, and therefore they do combine. Another exception is the things forbidden to a Nazirite, which will be explained in a proper place. The Rambam continues, וחמשס מיני תפוע, וכמוכן שלהם והבטקה שלהם, הכל מצטרף מלכזייס, בין לאיסר חמץ בפסח, בין לאיסר חדש מלפני העומר, בין לאיסורי מעשר שני ותרומוס. Another exception, when disparate things do combine to render this ikazayis, the size of an olive, would be, the Rambam continues, five species of grain, as well as their flour and dough, do combine to form an olive's worth with regard to the prohibition of chametz, of leaven, on Passover. Also, the prohibition of new produce before the offering of the Omer, as well as the prohibition of the second tithes and the heave offerings, the truma, which one may not eat if he's not a kohen, and so on. All of these different types of flour, dough, and grain do combine. Halachava, paragraph 6. Yiroi li shekol hachayiv betruma umaisros, mitztarif lekezayis betevel mepneshehu shem echad. Halamaze doma, lenivlas hashar, venivlas hasev, venivlas hatzvi, shehem mitztarif lekezayis kamosha biyarnu. The Rambam says that it would appear to me, this is his own opinion, that whatever is liable to the prohibition of truma, heave offering, or to tithes, meiser, does combine to form an olive's worth with regard to tevel, that is, untithed produce, since they all come under one category. In other words, the Rambam is saying that anything that is subject to the laws of truma umaser, doesn't have to be grain necessarily, does combine to form a kazayis worth of tevel, of untithed produce, which would render this food forbidden, and the person would be incurring the penalty of misa b'dei shamayim, death by the hands of heaven. And the Rambam continues to explain, to what may this be compared? To the nevela of an ox, the nevela of a sheep, and the nevela of a deer, which all combine to form an olive's worth, as we have explained. Halacha Zayin, paragraph 7. Ha'ochel achil gdola medover osur, ein mechayven osam malkus o karas al kol kezayis o kezayis, ela chiyuv echad l'chol ha'achila. Ve'im hayu ha'edem masrim bo, b'shas achila al kol kezayis o kezayis, chayev al kol hasra v'hasra, ve'apo pi, shehi achila achas v'lo hipsik. If one eats a very large volume of a forbidden substance, we do not consider the person liable for lashes or for the penalty of excision for every olive's worth that he eats. No. There's one liability for all of that which he eats. However, if the witnesses warn him while he's eating, for every separate olive's worth they give him another warning, he would then be liable for every single warning. And even though it was one continuous process of eating without any interruption, the fact that he was warned for each kazayis, he would be incurring another penalty for each one that he eats. Halacha Ches, paragraph 8. Ha'ochel kesodra o kechardol mi'echad mikol macholos ho'asudin, v'shoha mi'at v'chazo v'ochel kechardol, v'chein ad shehishlim kezayis bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid. Im shoha mitchilo v'ad sov k'dei achilas sholosh beim yitztarev hakol, v'harehu chayev koris o malkus o korban, k'mo sho'ochel kezayis b'bas achas. If one eats the volume of a barley corn or of a mustard seed, of any of the forbidden foods, and then the person waits, pauses, and then eats again the same volume, the size of a mustard seed, and he keeps on continuing to do this until the person eats the total volume, everything combined is the volume of an olive, whether this is done unintentionally, whether it's done intentionally, to make the person liable would depend on the following. If the time taken from beginning to end was such as to permit the eating of three eggs, so the amounts eaten do combine together, and he is liable to the penalty of kares, excision, or malchus, flogging, or in the case if it's unintentional, then it would be a sacrifice, just as though he had eaten an olive's worth at one time. V'im shah yasa mizem mitchila b'atzov, aval pishlo shah b'neim ela achal kechardol achar kechardol, hov lo hishlam kezayis ela b'yasa mikdei achilas pras, einem mitztarfim u'pater. If, however, the time taken from beginning to end was longer than that, even if there was no actual pause and he had eaten the several bulks of a mustard seed one after the other, once he has taken a longer time than what it takes to eat three eggs in order to complete the eating of the olive's worth, all of what he has eaten does not combine together, and he would be released from liability. Wouldn't make it permissible, because we learned before, even less than the olive's worth is forbidden, but he would not be subject to any of the penalties in the case of intentional violation, and he would not have to bring a sacrifice in case of an unintentional transgression. Halacha test, paragraph 9. V'chein hashoser revi'ish ostam yena miyat miyat, o shehimcha asach chametz bapesach o asach chelev, ugemoa ma'at miyat, o sheshosa min hadam miyat miyat. Im shah mitchilo v'yatzov kadesh diyas revi'ish mitztarfin, v'in lav ein mitztarfin. Similarly, if one drinks a quarter of a lug of undefined non-Jewish wine, which we learned before is forbidden, and the amount prescribed to make the person liable is a revius, a quarter of a lug, but he drinks it little by little, or if he takes chametz, leavened substances, which is forbidden on Passover, and he dissolves it, turns it into a liquid, or he takes chelev, the forbidden fat, and he melts it, and swallows it little by little, sips it little by little, or if he drinks blood little by little, if the time taken from beginning to end was such as to permit the drinking of a quarter of a lug, the sips combine together. If not, they do not combine. Halacha Yud, paragraph 10. Kol ha'achman ha'asurin eina chayav aleim at sheyochel osam derech hanoa chutz mibasov v'cholov v'klai ha'kerem. L'fi shelo nema behem achila. Elahoti Isar Achilosan Beloshan Acheris, Beloshan Bishul, Beloshan Hegdish, Lesser Osam, Viafilush Lokedere Hanoya. All of the forbidden foods in the Torah, one would not be liable for the transgression of eating those foods unless he eats them in the manner which the person could derive pleasure from. If the person doesn't derive any pleasure from it, he would not be liable. With the exception of the mixtures of milk and meat, and the mixed seeds in the vineyard. Because the Torah, when it prescribes those two prohibitions, it doesn't use the term achila, eating. It does not say, don't eat these things. But instead, the Torah expresses the prohibition in other language. For example, with regard to meat and milk, it says, lo sevashel, don't cook a kid in the milk of its mother, from which we derive the prohibition of eating as well. And with regard to klai hakerem, to the mixture of seeds in the vineyard, the Torah uses the term hegdesh, that will be destroyed, will be lost, to prohibit them, even though it is done in such a manner as to give us no enjoyment. It is nevertheless forbidden, but only those two things. And the Rambam continues to explain what that would mean in Halacha Yud Aleph, paragraph 11, Ketzad, how so? Arei shehimcha sachelu v'gema'o kishu cham, ad shenichva grona mimenu, o sheachal chelu v'chai, o she'erev dvarim marim kigon rosh v'lana l'toch yei nesach, o l'toch kederish al nevela v'acholim kishuhim marim, o sheachal ochal ha'asar acha shehistriach v'hivishu batal mi'ochal adam, arei ze potter. If one melts fat and drinks it while it's hot, so that he burns his palate, or if he eats it raw, or if he mixes bitter ingredients like gall and wormwood with the forbidden libation wine, or with a dish of nevela, and then eats the bitter mixture, or if he eats a forbidden food after it had putrefied so that it gives forth such a stench so it's rendered unfit for human consumption, in all of these cases, since he doesn't derive pleasure from it, he is released from liability. V'im eid of davar mar betoch kederu shel basa b'chalav, o b'yein klai akerev achalo, chayiv. However, if he mixes something bitter with a dish of meat with milk, or with wine from a vineyard of mixed seeds, klai hakerem, and then eats it, he would be liable because, as we said before, in these two cases, the Torah does not say it has to be eaten to be guilty. Eating is not the condition the Torah gives us, so even if it's eaten in an abnormal way, in a way that does not bring any pleasure, the person would still be liable. Halacha Yud Beis, paragraph 12. Ochel machal m'machalos v'asuros. Derech schok, o kimisaseik, avo pishlo niskaven l'gufo achila, hol v'nehene chayiv, kimishi miskaven la'atzma shel achila. If one eats forbidden food just playfully, or unthinkingly, he's doing something else, and while he's doing it, he happens to eat the non-kosher food, without any intention of eating it, even though he did not have an intention to the actual eating of this food. Nevertheless, since he did derive pleasure from it, he would be liable for it, just as if he had the intention for eating this food. V'hanoya habola la'adam bal karcha be'isim mikol ha'isurin im niskavin aser v'im lo niskavin muter. In the case of enjoyment, which comes to a person against his will from any of the prohibited things, then it depends. If he directs his mind to it after he is forced into it, then it would be forbidden. But if he does not direct his mind, then it would be permissible. Halacha Yud Gimel, paragraph 13. Ha'ochel machel asu lo tiyoven, o mepnei harav chayev. Im ha'yetoa b'midbav ein lo mayoch lo dvar isur, harei ze mut b'pnei sakonis nefashos. Whoever eats forbidden food merely to satisfy his appetite, or because he happens to be hungry, he's still liable. Since there's no danger involved, he would be liable. However, if he's wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, and has nothing other than forbidden food to eat, then it is permitted because the danger of life exists in this particular case. Halacha Yudal, paragraph 14. Ubra shehericha machal asa kigom b'sar kodesh o b'sar chazir. Machilin osa min hamarak im nisyash v'dayita muta v'im lav machilin osa pachas m'kashir. If a pregnant woman happens to detect the fragrance of a forbidden food, such as the meat of a sacrifice or the meat of a swine, one may give her to eat of the gravy. If her craving is appeased by just giving her the gravy, that's fine. If not, she should be given to eat of the meat, but less than the prescribed minimum amount for liability. If she still craves forbidden food, she may be fed more until she is satisfied, because here also it's a question of life and death. Halacha Tezva, paragraph 15. V'chein hachole shehiriach davar sheyesh bo chometz v'kiyotza bo medvarim sheme'aridin es ha'nefesh dino ke'ubra. The same thing would apply if a sick person senses the smell of something forbidden that has in it vinegar or anything else which stirs up a craving for it. The same rule would apply as in the case of a pregnant woman, because the life is in danger, that would override prohibition against giving him the non-kosher food. Halacha Tezayin, paragraph 16. Misha achazi bulmus, machilin osa dvarim hasurim miyad, ad sheyoru einov, vein mechazir al davar hamuter elam imaharin benimtza, u machilin osa hakal hakal tchila, im heiru einov dayo, vim lav machilin osa hachamur. If a person is seized with an attack of a disease that is called bulmus, that is a disease where a person has very strong craving for food and he can't control that craving, and this is a life and death situation, he may be given forbidden things to eat at once until his eyes brighten. One should not go about searching for permitted food, but should immediately give him whatever comes on hand. One does not attempt to give him first the gravy and less than the prescribed amount. We give him immediately the meat and the prescribed amount. However, the Rambam does say that one should feed him first food that is less stringently forbidden, and if this works, then fine. If his eyes brighten, it should suffice. If not, one may then feed him food that is more severely prohibited. We start off with a lesser transgression before we go to the more serious one. The only dispensation in this case is that we don't have to start giving him kosher food or a smaller amount or the gravy. Halacha Yud Zayin, paragraph 17. Ketzad, what do we mean by giving him the lesser transgression, the lighter one, the more lenient one, before doing the more stringent one? Hayu lefaneinu tevel unevela, machilin osa nevela tchila, shehatevel b'misa. If we have at hand tevel, untithed produce, and nevela, the dead animal, which has not been slaughtered properly, he should feed him nevela first, since the eating of tevel carries the death penalty by the hands of heaven. If it's nevela or sviche shviyis, machilin osa sviche shviyis, shasurim adivrei sofrim, kamo sheyisbar, behilcha shmita. If the choice is nevela and the spontaneous growth of the sabbatical year, only these two things are available, he should be fed first the spontaneous growth of the sabbatical year, where the prohibition is based on rabbinical law, as will be explained in the laws concerning the sabbatical year. If the choice is tevel or shviyis, machilin osa shviyis. If it's a choice between untithed produce and the growth of the sabbatical year, and these two things are available, he should be fed the latter, the growth of the sabbatical year. That is less stringent. Tevel utruma, imi apshelu sakin hatevel, machilin oso tevel. She'ena kadosh katruma, v'chein koke yotze b'zeh. If, let's say, we have untithed produce and truma, that which has already been tithed, the part that's given to the Kohen, which is off-limits to an Israelite, if it is impossible to correct the former by tithing the untithed produce, so it's a choice between untithed and the truma, he should be fed the untithed, which has not the same degree of sanctity as the Truma. Although Tevel, untithed produce, is forbidden because of the mixture of Truma in it, as many commentaries point out, it's not as serious as the Truma itself. And so on. We continue this procedure in a similar manner. We always give the person that which is less stringent, less forbidden. Halacha Yudches, paragraph 18. Kvar biyarnu she'ein isur chalal isur, elim hayu shneiho isurim boyin ka'achas, ha'shehayu isur mosif o isur kolel. We already explained that one prohibition does not take hold when another prohibition already exists, unless both prohibitions are coincidental, they both come at the same time, or the second one introduces factors additional to the first, or is a more comprehensive and all-encompassing prohibition, more than the first. The fichach, yesh ochel kezayis echad v'loka olav chamish malkios. Therefore, it is possible, in certain instances, for a person to eat one olive's worth of forbidden food, but to be subject to flogging five times for five transgressions. Vuhu, and that is, shehisru ba b'chamisha isurin sheneskabtzu bo. He was given a warning for five transgressions that gathered together, that combined together in one particular instance. Ketzad, how so? Kigon tamei, she'achal kezayis chelev, shenosa minam kudashim b'yom ha'kipurim. For example, a person who was ritually unclean, who eats an olive's worth of forbidden fat that was left over of a sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur. Lo kemishum ochel chaylev, umishum ochel nosar, umishum ochel biyom ha-kippurim, umishum tamish she'ochel kodesh, umishum shenena min ha-kodesh umma'ol. He is subject to flogging for the following counts. First of all, he ate chaylev, forbidden fat. Second of all, he ate the leftover of a sacrifice. Thirdly, he ate on Yom Kippur. Fourthly, he's tameh, he's unclean, who eats something that is holy. This is the leftover of a sacrifice. And finally, fifthly, he is liable to flogging because he derived benefit from a holy thing and is considered to have misused something that is holy, and that itself is another transgression. Halacha Yutes, paragraph 19. V'lama chal kan isur al isur. The Rambam asked, why is it here that one prohibition does take effect on the other one? And the answer is, because this animal, at the outset, its fat was forbidden, but only for consumption, not to derive benefit from. Once he consecrates this animal, then the fat is no longer just forbidden to derive to eat, but it's also forbidden to derive any benefit from. And because there's an added prohibition with regard to benefit, therefore, we also say that the prohibition of the forbidden sacrifice also applies here. As we learned before, that when there's an additional factor, that would allow the second prohibition to take effect on the first. However, this forbidden fat was permitted to the altar. It was permitted to be used in the procedures of offering the sacrifice. But it's forbidden to an ordinary person. So nasa nosa, but when it becomes nosa, when it stays beyond the prescribed time for which every sacrifice is allowed to stay, bitoch shenosa bo isur legavoa nasa lehedyet, now it becomes forbidden even to the altar. And because it's forbidden to the altar, it's an added application of this prohibition, not only that it's forbidden to ordinary people, it's forbidden to the altar. Nesel ahead, it also becomes forbidden to the ordinary person. Now, this person who ate it was permitted to eat the meat of the animal, but is forbidden to eat its fat. Nitma, neser af bipsara, nosaf lo iser ala chelev. But when it becomes contaminated, ritually unclean, he is prohibited to eat its flesh also. Thus, again, an additional prohibition is added onto the fat. Now, when the Day of Atonement comes along, with its prohibition that applies to all food, since this prohibition extends to profane food, ordinary food as well, not only to this holy food that we're talking about, it is once more added on to this fat. And the Rambam concludes, the same would apply to all similar instances where the second prohibition is either more encompassing than the first, or it has greater application, includes more people, and so on. In all of these cases, you would be liable for separate transgressions and subject to flogging for each one of these transgressions. With this, the Rambam concludes the 14th chapter of the laws concerning forbidden foods. Perek Yudalid Mehilchos Macholos Asuros.